Julia Ivanova is the director of a documentary film coming to Vancouver May 11th at the Denman Cinema. Julia was initially trained at the Russian Film Institute, VGIK, in Moscow. In 1995, she immigrated to Canada to concentrate on writing, directing, and producing documentaries. Her films have won awards galore. Her film, A Family Portrait in Black and White, tells the story of a Ukrainian woman who fosters black children. It will be screening in Vancouver at Denman Cinema from May 11th to 17th. Julia joins us now to give us a sneak preview of the film and the story behind it. Thanks so much for joining us, Julia.
Thank you for having me.
Now, what prompted you to choose this topic for A Family Portrait in Black and White?
This film is about a very universal topic. It's the topic of acceptance, the topic of minorities. And also, in a big way, it's a film about confrontation between teenagers and their mother. So I think it is something that almost everyone can relate to. The reason for the huge success of this film internationally, because it played more film festivals on a world level this year than any other Canadian documentary.
Wow.
The reason for this was the very complex figure of the mother in the center of the film. She is an extreme woman, so she sometimes is very loving, and she does a great thing. She actually fosters mixed-race children in the country where mixed-race citizens are not seen as equals. But on the other hand, she is very controlling, and she doesn't take into account the opinions of her children when they're choosing their future.
How did you find Olya?
That was an interesting story because I was making a film. It was on CBC News World. It was called Moscow Freestyle, and it was a film about Canadian and American guys who like to live in other countries and teach English and drink beer and date beautiful women. And when I was making this film in Moscow, I saw an article about this woman and the photographs. And for many, many years before, I wanted to make a film about mixed-race citizens of Eastern Europe because they are very invisible minority, not in a direct way because they're very visible, but there are no books about them, no films, no acknowledgement of their existence. So I was looking for the story that would allow me to explore this topic. As an immigrant, I often feel that I'm a minority. As an artist, I feel that I'm a minority. And as a compassionate human being, I believe I am a compassionate person. So the topic of minorities is something that is very dear to me. And they are ultimate minority because these children, they didn't know their fathers. They have absolutely no idea what Africa is. For them, it's completely foreign land. But the neighbors and people in the streets, they look at them and they see them as not 100% Ukrainian because they have a different skin color. And quite often I find it unfair, but the children find it exhausting because every single person in any argument can call them a black ass. And that would be the final argument. And that happens all the time. So if you make a film about children, it's much easier to change the view of the audience, I think, because children are angels, right? So that's why I wanted to make a film through the story of the children.
So tell us the story of Olga and her family.
Okay, so the film shows the story of, I would say, the most unusual family in Eastern Europe, because there is one mother and she is very Soviet person, like personality is very Soviet. And she fosters 17 mixed-race children. And many people would ask, how come we didn't know that there are mixed-race people in Eastern Europe? But students from Africa and Middle East, they come to Ukraine and to Russia to study because the level of education is quite high. And it's more affordable than to go to the West to study. So mostly, of course, the students are guys, men, young men, and they have relations with local girls. And their parents, they send them to Ukraine not to have relations with the girls, but to study. So quite often they are even afraid to tell their parents that they fathered a child. Mm-hmm. And the child becomes an inconvenience for everybody, because for the girl to keep a child, it's a huge stigma. So many of them, if not the majority, are left at birth at the orphanages. Oh. So what Olga did, she went to many orphanages and collected many of these children, and she ended up having 17. And for 3 years, we went to this small village where they live, and they have a house that was bought for them by a British charity, Hopes and Homes for Children. And we started to film how they live. But what is interesting is that these children, in summer, they go to Italy and France as summer child. And that was a program that started after Chernobyl. And I know some people in British Columbia who do bring children from Ukraine for summer. And the families here in British Columbia who do it, and I'm actually making a film about one of these families that ended up adopting the child that they brought as a summer child. But what happens is someone from Ukraine brings a child or children from Ukraine here, and then the child lives with you for a month. And then the child goes back. So that's what is a summer hosting program. And it is not for the children in my film, because the children in my film, they go to Italy and France, but other children come, and it is always a success. And then another thing in this film, which is very important, of course, is that one of the boys was taken away from her because he has learning disability. And despite the fact that he is very bright, he's just dyslexic, he is placed in an institution where he doesn't behave well. And he's sent to a mental institution where he is tortured. Of course, I came there with a completely different idea. I thought that Olga is a saint person who saves the children. And in a way, she is. But over these 3 years of children turning into teenagers, and Olga is never changing any of her parenting style and any of her world opinions. So I managed to film the parent who might be loving, but who might be intolerable, who might be very difficult. And actually, I believe that as a parent, we have to take into consideration our children's views and what they want of this life. And even if we disagree, we cannot shut it down, mm-hmm. but she does it all the time. So the film has lots of ups and downs, I would say. Many people who would come to the movie, they will think she's a saint. And I would say it depends where you grew up, how you were raised. Like in Korea, when we were showing this film at the festival, everybody thought that she's a saint. In the West, the parenting style is very different than hers. So here people, I would say, are more critical. But I wouldn't want to show the film that would be about childhood and would be depressing. It has tons of funny, loving, emotional moments that are lovely. So what does she do for these children? First of all, and the main thing, she gave them the family. They didn't grow up in the institution, in the orphanage. And this is the main thing, because whether the family is a little bit dysfunctional or seriously dysfunctional, it is still a family. Second thing that she does is she protects them. She is a feisty woman. So whenever any of her children is, called a bad name, she would try to defend the child. Also, because they live in a family, they learn normal things. What else does she do? She feeds them, but basically the main thing what she does, she sacrifices her life to give an opportunity of normal life for these children. The way she sees it. So we might disagree with many things she does. I cannot agree that she doesn't allow international adoption. But I don't think actually that she doesn't believe that it's good if the children would be adopted, but she thinks that they have a family. So she sees it the same way as you and me. Someone comes to you and says, well, I have a big mansion, I have better life, give me your child. So that's how she sees it. That's what I think. She is an interesting person. Through the 3 years of filming, she was refusing to answer many questions that I continuously kept trying to ask her. So, for example, she never said why she takes black children. But I have my guess. I have my guess why she did. And one reason is she retired when she was 42 because she worked at a chemical factory. And it was a time when Soviet Union collapsed. And then she was a young, energetic woman. And she loved children and she needed something to do in her life. So she started to foster children. And when you take a child from the orphanage in Eastern Europe, there is a huge risk that the mother was drinking during pregnancy. And, of course, when it is a mixed-race child, the reason why the child is abandoned is absolutely not because the mother is drinking. Of course not. It's a completely different reason. It's racism. So, from the part of the society. So that's why I think she started to take mixed-race children because she knew they would be, let's say, normal. And the other thing is she doesn't have any racism in herself, absolutely zero. So I think that's why she was taking black children.
Hmm.
The film wasn't shown in Ukraine, and this is an aspect that I wanted to touch upon because there were several reasons. One reason is Olga, from the very beginning, told me she doesn't want to be shown in Ukraine because you never know what kind of consequences it could have. Mm. She is not perfect in the film. The authorities might remove the children, or the skinheads might learn where the children live, she thinks, and they are active in Ukraine. Skinheads do exist. They are in the film, and they share their wisdom with us. So she didn't want it. I would say that filmmakers, we do have responsibility. Like recently, I was thinking about it because I'm making a film about adoption. A Zurich couple adopted 5 children, and there was one scene, and I was standing with a camera, and I didn't film it. And I knew that I could just push a button and film it. But you have a responsibility to calculate what the film will do to the people who allowed you in their lives. Then we have the film in Vancouver, in Denman Cinema, May 11th, 17th. It's downtown. It's at 4 p.m. And then we will have it in Winnipeg in beginning of June. So we will see how the community will respond. I know for sure that they would love the music. And this music is performed by Boris Sihon. And Boris Sihon is a composer and musician here in Mission. And his daughter. And his daughter, she is 8, and she sings in the most amazing way. And those songs are Ukrainian folk songs and the songs that were composed and created by his daughters, Rivka and Natasha. So I hope Ukrainians will like it, but it will be very difficult for them to accept certain things. Because when we don't live in a country, we have idealistic picture of the country. And in this film, you can see that Ukraine is not a welcoming place for black citizens. And this is a reality. Ukraine is still a great place, but it has racism and nationalism. It does. I would say to less degree than Russia, and I'm from Russia. And another thing is, Olga is such a controversial person that some people would not like her, that she is from Ukraine. But other people would love her because what she does, no one can. She actually became a mother to 17 children.
Mm-hmm. Besides the screening, where can people get your films? They're available now for sale on DVD?
Most of them are, and you can go to Interfilm Productions, to www.interfilm.ca, and there you will see the films that we made, and most of them are available through Amazon and through other engines.
You live in Vancouver, so are you going to be at the screening? Will people be able to meet you?
I would love to meet the people at the screenings. I will come to the screening of Family Portraits in Black and White on Mother's Day. And we have 4 tickets to give away for your listeners. So please come. And at all the festivals, from Bermuda to Korea to Canary Islands, we had always very interesting Q&As.
Okay, wonderful Mother's Day gift for listeners then. Super. Well, thank you so much, Julia. It's been a pleasure, and looking forward to talking to you again in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paulette. Thank you.